In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Canon, dear faithful. War. It's been in the media many times, and more so recently, and everyone has an opinion on this or that conflict. Coming from a family that has fought every war in which the United States has been involved since the War of Independence until the Second Gulf War, with the exceptions of Korea and the First Gulf War, because in our generations we had no one of that age to send off to those wars, I would offer you my opinion. However, I am old enough to know that when it comes to war, with its flowing blood and visceral emotions, one cannot expect frankness nor accuracy concerning the facts of a particular conflict. Moreover, as a son of Holy Church and a minister of Christ, I do not think it worthy of the pulpit to express my opinions. The pulpit is where we expect to hear the saving teachings of Christ and His church, and that is what you will hear today. So, the question is, what does the church teach concerning war? Is there such thing as a just war? Well, if we look to St. Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian who has had so much influence in our world, well, he says that the answer to that question is yes, under certain conditions. He writes, in order for a war to be just, three things are necessary. First, the authority of the sovereign by whose command the war is to be waged. In other words, it's not just for anyone to decide that, but those that have the competency to declare a war. So that is those who are in authority having the duty to safeguard and promote the common good of those over whom they have charge, and the decision to go to war belongs to them. As St. Augustine says, the natural order conducive to peace among mortals demands that the power to declare and counsel war should be in the hands of those who hold the supreme authority. Secondly, a just cause is required, namely, that those who are attacked should be attacked because they deserve it on account of some fault. An injustice must have been committed. That's the past tense. That means it's something that actually took place, not something like, they may do this in the future. That's different. That's future. That we don't know. So basically, the injustice must have been committed and that it needs to be corrected. As St. Augustine says, a just war is wont to be described as one that avenges wrongs when a nation or state has to be punished for refusing to make amends for the wrongs inflicted by its subjects or to restore what it has seized unjustly. Thirdly, it is necessary that the belligerents should have a rightful intention, so that they intend the advancement of good or the avoidance of evil. True religion looks upon as peaceful those wars that are waged not for motives of aggrandizement or cruelty, but with the object of securing peace, of punishing evildoers, and of uplifting the good. In other words, to correct the injustice done by restoring justice, which will then reestablish peace. The Roman Catechism says that indicates that the right to self-defense belongs to an individual, also belongs to a people or nation. The same principles would apply to war as are applied in the case of an individual who must take the life of another to preserve his own. And so we see there are also ways in which that war must be done, that it doesn't transgress those principles. You cannot undo an injustice by committing another injustice. And if war is to be just, it must be there to reestablish justice and therefore to eliminate the evil doing and so forth. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church elaborates on this. It says, "The strict conditions for legitimate defense by military force requires rigorous consideration, not flimsy desires. The gravity of such a decision makes it subject to rigorous conditions of moral legitimacy. At one and the same time, the damage inflicted by the aggressor on the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, and certain. Secondly, all other means of putting an end to the aggression must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective. Thirdly, there must be serious prospects of success. You don't enter a war that you know that you're going to lose. And then fourthly, the use of arms must not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated. The power of modern means of destruction weighs very heavily in evaluating this condition. These are the traditional elements enumerated in what is called the just war doctrine. The Church and human reason both assert the permanent validity of the moral law during armed conflict. The mere fact that war has regrettably broke out does not mean that everything becomes licit between the warring parties. Non-combatants, wounded soldiers, and prisoners must be respected and treated humanely." So that is what the Church teaches concerning war and what the conditions would be to make that a war be just. But when we consider war and all the conflicts that have been raving for all this time, we may ask ourselves, is peace even possible? Well, yes, it is. But only with Christ, the Prince of Peace. When his kingship is recognized and his divine law guides all nations, then there will be a lasting peace. Pope Pius XI indicated as much in his encyclical Quas Primas, written in 1925, following the First World War and at the verge of the Second. And what does he say in that document? Well, he writes, "When once men recognize both in private and in public life that Christ is king, society will at last receive the great blessings of real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony. If the kingdom of Christ receives, as it should, all nations under its sway, there seems no reason why we should despair of seeing that peace which the King of Peace came to bring on earth. He who came to reconcile all things, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, who, though Lord of all, gave himself to us as a model of humility, and with his principal law united the precept of charity, who said also, 'My yoke is sweet and my burden light.' Oh, what happiness would be ours if all men, individuals, families, and nations would but let themselves be governed by Christ. Peace is possible, but it's only possible with Christ. It cannot be obtained through those who are devoid of Christ, who reject him. They will not be seeking after peace, and they won't be able to bring it about upon the earth. But we who do accept Christ as our King will let us begin the path towards peace by truly having our Savior rule over us in all things, seen and unseen. And let us use Lent well to implore God by prayer and penance for peace, that peace which can only come from above. And His great mercy, seeing our prayers and penances, will then grant our request. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.